radio stations of DoorCountyDailyNews.com. Each and every week, we are joined by the Green Bay Gamblers head coach and general manager, Pat Mikisch. And it's always a happier conversation when we come off of two really exciting wins. And exciting they certainly were. Team USA, they played the U-17s this past weekend in Michigan. And let's go right away to that 7-2 game. 44 shots compared to 19. What were you able to do on offense that, you know, clearly Team USA couldn't handle?
Well, it started in the second period. The first period was a rather even. I think the shots were 9-8. And then that second period, we were able to get 21 shots, and it was all based off of our ozone possession time. And we just, it was probably our highest number for the year. I think 7 minutes and 40 seconds total. And it was a 5-on-5 game. There weren't a lot of penalties. So we were able to just do our thing and kind of possess that puck and break them down. I mean, they're a young team. So using our size and our strength, I thought was a key that night.
So were you able to kind of pass the puck around and just wear them out that way? Or were you really kind of picking your moments to attack the net as well?
We were shooting quite a bit. I mean, 21 shots in a period is a huge number. And then we were getting second chances and we were getting the puck back again. So it was, we call it that second chance opportunity, puck pursuit after it. And just, we stayed on top of them and kind of, it was a relentless period by our guys. They were so focused and staying on top of them.
And obviously, when you have a 7-2 score, several players had multiple point nights, including your newest addition, Victor Mancini, who was hitting the ice for the first time when we talked last week. And how did he fit into the roster his first weekend with the team?
Yeah, he played well. I know Coach Peterson, who handles those defensemen back there, was really happy with him. And it probably 10 minutes of finding his legs and getting into the game a little bit, mismanaged a couple pucks early. But then after that, I thought he was great. And he's long. He skates extremely well. You know, he's a great addition to our decor.
And then you go to the next night, a Saturday night thriller, 4-3 finish, another game-winning goal in the final seconds. Was that especially when you figure it was Ryan Kieran, he got the hat trick as well on that third goal. Was that just a dramatic way of getting a hat trick, or the most dramatic way you've seen somebody get a hat trick?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because I think we were all trying to get the puck to him earlier that period to try to get him his hat trick, and then we got the power play, and we actually gave up a goal on the power play first for them to tie it up. And then we still had 39 seconds left, I think it was. So we just tried to refocus. We got into the ozone, and the guys, it was a 4-on-3 power play, and just ran, you know, a predictable option, which was, you know, Ryan shooting and making sure we had second chance opportunities around the net. And sure enough, he came up with it.
What was the final ticks on the clock at that point? Because obviously you still got to get the puck, you know, past the line for it to count. What was the official, like, was it less than a second, couple of tenths of a second? Do you remember?
It was 1.3 is what they reset the clock to. Because I think it ticked to about a half a second, but then they reset it to 1.3.
So probably just enough to drop the puck, slap the blades a little bit, and the game was over.
Yeah, pack up the bus and grab the pizzas and get going. So yeah, it was good. It was, an exciting win. It's, you know, those are points that you don't get to try to go and get back later in the season. So you got to take advantage of them when they're in front of you.
And we've discussed it a lot this season. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot that bothers this team, because I think for some squads and certainly other sports, if not even more in hockey, you have that lead and then you give up a power play goal with the, with 39 seconds left. How important is it for your team or to have that resilience to say, all right, well, worst comes to worst, we play a little extra hockey tonight, to be able to come back almost right away and get a goal so you can save your legs a little bit?
Well, I think the leadership is the key there. You know, if they get emotional over it, then you're going to lose focus. So I like the guys. They just wanted to line back up and go. They knew they were still on that power play, and they see the value of the points. I mean, the players that have been in this league know at the end of the year, the difference between first and third can be three points. So it's just important that you take advantage of your opportunities and ride the highs when you're really going, but, you know, manage your lows and be ready to respond.
And then this weekend, you return home to the Rush Center. Of course, we'll have the games on the new Radio Sports Network and airing over the air on 104.1 WRLU. And Chicago, you've played them a few times to be able to get their number at least once. Other times, that offense has just been really strong. And took a quick look before we jumped on. They have five players in the top 10 in scoring, three with 40%. I know we've always raved about Matt Coronado. He's not even the league leader. That's Sean Farrell with 46 points. Eric Middendorf, he's there at 40. And, you know, you've seen him a few times. You obviously have film. Is it one of those things where, I mean, I don't even know how you would approach that offense at this point.
Yeah, we've played well against them in our own building. You know, we've had a little bit of issue down there, you know, managing a full 60 minutes against them. But it's nice to know that we'll get the last change and we can have the players out against the matchups that we want against that group. And so they're extremely talented. Like we always say, they're going to get their chances, but they're going to give up a lot of chances too. You know, you look at goals for, goals against, you know, they've given up a pile of goals as well. So we've got to take advantage of our opportunities. And when it's not there for us, we've got to manage pucks and make that group play some defense.
Do you, when you play a team like this, do you kind of work more, this is going to be more of a basketball term, but do you work a little bit more on the fast break just so people hit those fast twitch muscles when they do get those opportunities?
Yeah, I think in our division's kind of that way this year. You know, Muskegon's a fast team as well. Both the USA teams are going to skate so well. So we have kind of had to change our game and really focus on when we get our opportunities, we've got to be as quick as we can in transition and catch them out of their structure. And then on the reverse side is when we have that puck, where are we going to put it when we don't have a clean look? And that's probably the biggest success we've had. You know, our goals for, goals against is in a really good spot right now. We're scoring more than we have, you know, the last 3 years, but we're still not giving up those huge numbers. So I like the way our team is built. You know, we kind of match up against everybody. And so, yes, it's going to be a little bit of a track meet. The fans in the rest this week are going to see some offense from both groups. And so it'll be it's a fun brand of hockey to watch and play.
So if you don't have tickets, make sure you call the box office to see those games. And we'll be running into this a little bit more here as the season kind of continues. You're going to be making up some of those games that you missed out on. Later, that will start next weekend. You'll play Dubuque, I believe you said, on Friday. Then it's Sunday, Monday at Team USA to play the U18s?
Yeah, that's correct. So it's those will be our first two makeup games is that U.S. So it's going to get really busy for us. We're basically three games a week the rest of the way here. This weekend coming up is our last two-game weekend for a huge amount of time.
And how do you get your team ready to play that many games, that many minutes, that many weeks in a row?
Well, I think a lot of the teams are going to be dealing with it. You just got to take advantage of your time away from the rink, making sure your body's recovering and staying on top of things. You know, ideally, we stay away from the bumps and the bruises that, you know, keep guys out of games. But right now, you know, with our roster, I mean, we've been able to use everybody. And so we just want to, you know, stay fresh when we can and then be ready to play on game night.
And I'm sure that's got to be a good sign of a great team as well, that you're able to kind of tap into all of your lines, tap into that bench a little bit for opportunities like this where you have three games. And if you can give your guys a little bit of a break, you can do that.
Yeah, and we saw some depth scoring last week, and that's what you have to have. I mean, we can't just rely on the same guys every night. So it was great to see, you know, Greg Spitznagel have, you know, two goals last week, you know, one of our youngest players in our locker room and starting to feel comfortable enough and getting into those prime scoring areas. So, you know, that's kind of what we're going to need. We can't go and expect to win with one and one and a half lines, you know, against these top groups and playing so many games. So we're going to need, you know, all four lines and, you know, our entire decor rolling.
And then finally, we'll end it off with this. We've started to do our own basketball broadcast on the new Radio Sports Network. We have two young broadcasters that we've had to teach some basketball terms. I'm sure you're familiar when people ask you about hockey, some of the different rules and things like that. What's maybe the most confusing hockey term that you've come across when people ask you questions that you have to explain to fans or the novice hockey watchers? Explain a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably icing, just because they see a puck get shot down, and but then you can do it on the penalty kill. And then if the other team wins the race to it, it's no icing. And so there's just so many rules, small rules around that icing call, that sometimes I just give up on trying to explain it, because just go out and watch the game and enjoy the races that you get to see.
It's almost the difference between a charge and a blocking call. It's like, okay, in this case, no, it wasn't quite blocking, but no, now that was charging. In this case, yeah, it may have been icing, may have not been icing.
That's very fair.
And when the NHL, speaking of icing, when the NHL kind of changed their icing rules, did you change your rules in the USHL to kind of mimic that?
The USHL actually did it first. The USHL was used as a pilot to see how it worked, and then they used video from our games to decide, you know, if that's how they wanted to handle things. And we're actually part of a face-off pilot program right now that's being looked at for the NHL as well.
Oh, interesting. Can you explain that a little bit?
So in traditional, if a centerman cheats and the linesman deems that he was in too early or something that way, they would kick out the centerman and a new centerman would come in.
Okay.
Well, now, instead of kicking out that centerman gets his one warning. And then if he does it a second time, it's actually a penalty. So it's instead of changing out the centerman, they leave the same centerman in there and just give him a warning.
What are your thoughts on that rule? That sounds pretty interesting, because I know that's something watching hockey for, you know, last several years. You know, it's frustrating when you see your best centerman, you know, obviously get committed. They got to get kicked out, and all of a sudden it's, you know, somebody is like, okay, well, we know we're not going to win the faceoff now. What are your thoughts on that rule?
Yeah, we are completely in favor of it. As a GM group, we've talked about it quite a bit. We like it. You know, late in the game, traditionally, you'd always have to put a second centerman out there to make sure you had somebody else to take the faceoff. And now you don't have to focus on that as much. You're going to get your warning, and your centerman will get a second opportunity.
Well, very good. Well, once again, the Green Bay Gamblers return to the Rec Center this weekend. Tobin Meyer will have the call on 104.1 WRLU and the new Radio Sports Network as the Green Bay Gamblers battle the Chicago Steel. 7:05 puck drops both Friday and Saturday night. So if you got some time to kill and want to watch a track meet, and a hockey game might break out too, make sure you head out to the Rec Center and watch the Green Bay Gamblers. Coach, as always, we thank you so much for joining us.
All right, appreciate it.
You're listening to the new Radio Sports Network.